So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, the characteristics of King Puranjana, and we're doing text number 12. Yeah. That's what's up there. I'd like to welcome Kali Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Some of you may know Kali Krishna. So what year did you join?
79.
Yeah. So Kali Krishna, one of the pioneers in our movement, through some of the difficult days, very interesting days, and still very much pushing on Krishna consciousness. So any of you who haven't met Kali Krishna, take the opportunity. You don't get to see him very often. You're living up in New Gopal. Yeah, very nice. So, na sadhu mine tasarha, bhutale yavati pura. Mam kame yamanosho tasya tasyo vapataye nasaru mene tasava bhutale yavati pura kamam kame yamanosho tasya tasyo papatai na never sadhu good mene thought ta then sava all bhutale on this earth yavati, all kinds of pura, residential houses, kaman, objects for sense enjoyment, kama yamana, desiring a soul, that king, tasya. His. Upapattaye. For obtaining. King Puranjana had unlimited desires for sense enjoyment. Consequently, he travelled all over the world to find a place where all his desires could be fulfilled. Unfortunately, he found a feeling of insufficiency everywhere. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Material sense gratification. Hey Krishna. What's your name?
Gokul.
What is that?
Gokul.
Gokul, yes, you're sitting quiet. Good boy. Thank you. The Srila Vidyapati, a great Vaishnava poet, has sung. Tathala saikate hari bindu sama sutamita ramani samajye. So, because with the children, I don't usually mind because I've five children, so it doesn't bother me, but it can distract others quite significantly. And Prabhupada, generally, as soon as he loved to have the children to listen, but as soon as they made a noise, he'd ask that they be removed because he took the hearing and chanting very, very seriously. So no offence to the children, but that we have to take this hearing and chanting very seriously while we have the opportunity. So material sense gratification with society, friendship and love is hearing compared to a drop of water falling on a desert. A desert requires oceans of water to satisfy it, and if only a drop of water is supplied, what is its use? Similarly, the living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, as stated in the Vedanta Sutra, is Anandamayobhya Sat, full of enjoyment. Being part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity is also seeking complete enjoyment. However, complete enjoyment cannot be achieved separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In his wanderings in the different species of life, the living entity may taste some type of enjoyment in one body or another, but full enjoyment of the senses cannot be obtained in any material body. Thus, Paranjana, the living entity, wanders in different types of bodies, but everywhere meets frustration in his attempt to enjoy. In other words, the spiritual spark, covered by matter, cannot fully enjoy the senses in any circumstance in material life. A deer may become absorbed in the musical sound vibrated by the hunter, but the result is that it loses its life. Similarly, a fish is very expert in gratifying its tongue, but when it eats the bait offered by the fisherman, it loses its life. Even the elephant, who is so strong, is captured and loses its independence while satisfying its genitals with a female elephant. In each and every species of life, the living entity gets a body to satisfy various senses, but he cannot satisfy all his senses at one time. In the human form of life, he gets an opportunity to enjoy all his senses pervertedly. But the result is that he becomes so harassed in his attempted sense gratification that he ultimately becomes morose, and he tries to satisfy his senses. As he tries to satisfy his senses more and more, he becomes more and more entangled. So, Narada Muni is speaking to King Barishat, and he is giving this analogy about Puranjana. And Srila Prabhupada described that in the previous verse, right? Puranjana. But who can tell me has been Puranjana? What does the word Puranjana mean? Who can say? What's that? Jana means the living entity, and Puram within this body or form. Yeah. So, which is also explained in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Chetra and Chetra Jaya. That this body is compared to a field, and the living entity is the knower of the field. So two different things. Now Prabhupada gives this example. So people tend to identify the self as the body. It's just one thing. But actually they're two different things. So the self, as Krishna has described, that even though the body changes, the self remains the same. So it must be different from the changing body. And therefore, one should see it as different. So this Pura or Chetra, Prabhupada explains that field of activities can be the body. So we're active in this body, or we're active in this room, or we're active anywhere in the world. The world can be cetra, in one sense. People travel all over the world. You know, they have expanded activities all over the world. They're all cetra, or the field of activities. Given the example of this room, Srila Prabhupada helps us to understand the simple fact that we're sitting in this room, which is the field of our activities. We're hearing and chanting about Krishna. And we're sitting on the floor. So then Prabhupada would ask the question, does anyone think that they are the floor? Hands up. See, not even the children putting their hands up. He's laughing. So, you know, it's a very simple concept, isn't it? But, you know, that is the understanding, the difference between the self and the body. That one is the knower of the body, and one is the body or the field where the knower is active. So that, you know, that's in the was it the 13th chapter, it discusses the process of knowledge. One of those processes is birth, death, old age, and disease. It's always, Prabhupada says, always keep that problem in front. So, for instance, when children go to school, you know, the teachers are trying to get them to develop knowledge, and as they apply the knowledge they're given, it becomes more fixed up. So sometimes they give a mathematical formula how to work out so much area, and they'll multiply, you know, one side by the other, etc., etc. So there's a formula, or they add them all up. So they problem solve, and by that, the knowledge, you know, it's the problem by which they understand, okay, that gives them the impetus to develop the knowledge. So we're taught from the very beginning, here is the problem, birth, death, old age, and disease. Now solve. Come to the knowledge and solve that problem. So it's part of the process of knowledge is having, that's the problem we're trying to solve. If you're developing knowledge, like King Karanjana was, for sense gratification, you're actually not coming to knowledge because the problem you can't solve. There's no knowledge to do that. And that knowledge depends upon the understanding that the living entity is eternal, unchanging, and the body is different from the self. So, now that here, it is explained that the living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is stated in the Vedanta Sutra as Anandamayogya Sat, full of enjoyment. Being part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity is also seeking complete enjoyment. However, complete enjoyment cannot be achieved separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the one who doesn't have that knowledge that I am a spirit soul, but that they're in ignorance, they're thinking I am this body, then they will try, the body becomes very dear to them because it is the source of whatever happiness they feel that they can get. So there's no knowledge of the soul. So whatever happiness I'm going to get is derived from this body. So therefore the body, they protect by all means. The body is very dear to everyone. And you see that around the world. You know, that's the basis of the you know, multi-billion-dollar fashion industry. If the body wasn't, you know, so dear to everyone as a you know, a place for happiness, they wouldn't make any money. But the fact that they're making billions and billions of dollars is because people, you know, take so much care of the body, because this is where my happiness comes, especially for sex desire. So, but one who gets that knowledge that we are a spirit soul, then the understanding comes, oh, this body is dear, you know, I'm looking after this body because the soul is in it. Otherwise, if the soul wasn't in this body, I'd have no use for it. So we see that as soon as a body dies, even the relatives, you know, discard it, burn it, bury it. And no one wants to keep it home as a decoration. They, so the body, and then of course, the body and everything related to the body for happiness. So family, mothers, fathers, children, wives, husbands. In India, of course, the list goes on quite extensively. Big family. I guess that's one good fortune in the West, we have little families. But that we don't see very much. But, so the those things, you know, then the understanding is, when you understand the body, the soul, you understand, well, the body's, I'm only seeing that as important because it's the soul isn't there, actually. But the real important, source of happiness is the soul. And why is my soul important? Because it is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, described here as Ananda Maya Vyasat. He is full of enjoyment and in union, you know, in connection with the Supreme Soul. The spirit soul is always blissful, always happy, eternally. So, therefore, our real source of happiness for the soul comes not from the body, but that eternal enjoyment that can be there, as described in this section, with our invisible friend, the super soul. Of course, for devotees, he's not so invisible. He's standing right there on the altar, and they think about him every day. They know his form, his name, his parents, his address. But for others, he's invisible. So, the living entities, their program is one body to another, as Paranjana here. Now, this is very interesting, because Narada Muni, he's talking to King Bahishma that he's trying to help him to stop this cycle of fruitive activities, even through religious ceremonies, which is basically keeping him in the cycle of birth and death, one body after another, trying to fulfill these particular material desires. And that's not possible. Therefore, Krishna describes in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that this world, from the highest place, even to Lord Brahma, right down to the lowest place, no one escapes. It's, you know, there is misery there. Someone may protest. Oh, no, you know, there's happiness. Yes, okay, there's happiness. We'll agree. Yes, you're having happiness. That happiness is like one drop of water in a desert. Oh, no, I'm getting so much happiness. But, you know, they may protest. But then you explain, so you could have eternal happiness, but your happiness will come to an end. If you identify with the body, it will come to an end forever. Or you can eternally suffer, one body after another. Either way, you know, the happiness we find in the with these temporary material bodies is very, very limited compared to. So, as Prabhupada says, that you know, if you take even the highest pleasure in this material world, which, you know, people say, the authorities say, is sex pleasure, because people seem to be quite mad after that. Prabhupada says, how long can, 2 minutes? You have sex for 2 minutes? Every so often, of course, for people, people get married, even with their partner, it diminishes. It's the law of diminishing returns. the law of diminishing returns. It's a very interesting law. That you keep putting more effort in, you're able to have less of what you want for your happiness, and it gives you less pleasure and more misery. So even if you take the greatest pleasure in this world, it's, if you look at it very carefully. But apart from that, very dangerous, because the happinesses of this world, all our activities in this life, are actually creating our next body. Life after life. So that's a very dangerous proposition, when you think about it. If I take birth again, where, there's no guarantee we'll be born in Australia, America, India, a lot of countries in this world, a lot of families wanting to have children. And there's a lot of animals wanting to have children. And according to one's activities, one can be placed in any of those. So a very dangerous proposition. So, now, that is the chewing the chew. Again and again, this is a Paranjana, chewing the chew. No satisfaction in this life. We'll try again next life. No satisfaction in that life. Try again next life, life after life. And Prabhupada explains like the moon. They want to go to the moon. Why is that? They've failed here. We've messed this place up. There's this war everywhere. The water's gone bad. The air's gone bad. Oh, let's go to the moon. Chewing the chew, I'll go there and mess that up. What will they do? Bring back the minerals and dig it up. Turn it into a... Let me get there. So, chewing the chew. So, that is the program. Now, here, King Paranjana, he's speaking to Narada, he's speaking to King Bhakishat, but he's actually telling a story about someone else. Oh, there's not you, but Maharaj Bharata, there's someone else. Tell me that story. If you were to tell this you someone about, let's analyze your problems. I don't have problems. I'll resolve them. But he's telling a story about someone else. Actually, even psychiatrists, they deal with people with so many problems. But if they have a problem, they go to another psychiatrist. They won't even listen to their own problems. It just doesn't work. You actually have to have some, objective person with knowledge who can look at it from a distance, from a detached point of view. Like that. So therefore, Narada Muni is doing that. Which is a very interesting preaching method. We have to be careful of, when we are speaking to people, to really just delve into their life too much, too intensely. Sometimes it's better to talk about some examples from scripture, and somehow in their heart they're thinking, gee, that sounds a lot like me. But we don't want to point the finger at them. It's very intelligent, speaking tactic by the Rabbi. Even humble devotees still don't like to be preached at. So he's telling this story. Basically what happens is that King Bhagavisat, although very intelligent and very qualified, but in essence he is following everyone else chewing the chew, body after body. I have a particular desire. Let me try and fulfill that. That desire creates another body. That body creates other desires, and it just goes on like that. So, to the death. Another death. So, Prabhupada explains that, you know, this is the nature of you know, those who are ignorant of you know, spiritual knowledge. Basically, they're like animals. So, you know, there's a saying in Bengali, probably all over the world, you know, at the slaughterhouse, you know, if you want to bring the animals in, the goats or the sheep, the cows, to be slaughtered, you've just got to get one in. Because if you get one in, they all follow. Yeah. They're going to their death. They don't want to go in there because they sense that. As Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada says, you know, sometimes, you know, the cows, you know, they'll cry. You know, they understand, you know, I'm very fearful of this human. I feel like I'm going to, they'll cry, and they have their children. I've seen cows cry as well. You separate them, the mother from the calf. And, but somehow or another, if you get one in, they'll go in. And even that first one was, you know, perhaps a little intelligent than the rest of the herd. And get them in, they'll all go in. Like that. So that's the way of the world. But they, you know, many of them are just following that one who appears to be a leader. So here, King Bharatashat, he's a leader of others. And if he's going to engage in fruitive activities, you know, everyone will follow him for hundreds of years. And we know that, you know, that's one of the difficulties we have sometimes, you know, helping people from different traditions, you know, Hinduism, Christianity, Muslim, you know, to accept the principles of Krishna consciousness. So sometimes you explain to them, we're following the same principles, but in their mind, no, it's different. As I was talking with one person from one Christian group, and I was going to offer some, I was at their home, I was going to offer some flowers, and I was trying to explain everything because I understood about Christians. So I was saying, we're going to offer some flowers and, you know, things as gifts to God. Oh, no, we don't offer gifts. And I'm thinking, I bet you do. So I said, oh, that's interesting. So no flowers, no. And okay. Do you give money to your church? Oh yeah. I said, is that a gift? Oh, it is a gift, isn't it? There you go, we're doing the same thing. But see, in their mind, you know, we're not going to do any Hare Krishna things, you know, this is our tradition, you're going to stick to that. I actually explained, we follow the same. We also don't just offer gifts to God. Because in the Bhagavad Gita it explains, in the ninth chapter, text number 26, that Krishna says, you can offer me fruits, flowers, you know, different sattvic foods, with love, and I will accept them. He's accepting the bhakti. If there's no bhakti, he's not interested in the gifts. You can't buy his, you know, your way back to the kingdom of God with that. So we actually follow the same thing. But somehow, you know, by tradition, sometimes they're following a little blindly. It's very hard to you know, give some knowledge because there's a lot of resistance. So King Bharatashat, if people follow him, they will follow him for generations after generations after generations, thousands of years. So, and it gets to the point where each generation, they don't know why they're following him. So then it gets to the, and then someone changes things a little bit. So, one of my favourite stories, I have this to be, especially in weddings, with people saying, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. You know, one time someone was asking, you know, we want the deities and we want them, you know, sat behind us. And you know, because I saw someone else have the deities behind them. You know, so I tried to explain. Anyway, I usually tell this story and then they, you know, listen to me. That's the, about the cat in the basket. Yeah. I'll tell it anyway. That, one girl was getting married, and when she was getting married, she said to her niece, when I get married, I want you to get our cat, put it in the basket, so that it doesn't spoil the food that's there for the reception after the wedding. The little niece says, yep, done. So the little niece did that. That little niece grew up. She was getting married, so she calls in her niece. I'm getting married today. I'd like you to put the cat in the basket. Didn't tell her why. Yes, so she did that. She got the cat, put it in the basket. Then she grew up. She brought her niece in. Said, I'm getting married today. I want you to put the cat in the basket. The little niece started crying. I can't put the cat in the basket. Why not? We don't have a cat. You get a cat and put it in the basket. I'm not getting married without a cat in the basket. So therefore, especially the leaders have to be good examples. And now, so this is the program that's going on all over the world. Everyone is just following this, life after life. Actually, only this Krishna consciousness movement is giving an alternative to this. Giving Krishna's program, as Prabhupada says. Krishna's program. So, another example is, say, with children. So these children, of course, they're following Krishna's program. They're all hearing and chanting. But generally, children, what they'd like to do is just, you know, what they'd like to do, if the parents, they'd like to just, you know, put the parents in the corner and then just do whatever they like. And they'll just go from one activity to another. But they, because they're, you know, in ignorance, they're not aware of the dangers of this world. They cause themselves all sorts of troubles and end up crying and, you know, make a huge mess and such a problem. And of course then, you know, they won't get an education and they can, you know, lose their good health and they can, you know, they can kill themselves sometimes. So, you know, there's no happiness there. And this is what people are like in this world. And Krishna is the Supreme Father and he's saying, you follow this program and you'll actually be happy. Like that. So it's not unreasonable. You know, people say, why should I follow Krishna? Or why should, then we'll ask, why should the children follow the father? Why is that unreasonable? Yeah. So what is Krishna's program? Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, that one should always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer obeisances. If one does that, then one will not take birth again, as Krishna mentions in several places in the Gita, but they will come to me, they will come back to my abode, as described in the 8th chapter. Krishna has his eternal abode in the spiritual world, one will come back to the eternal spiritual abode and enjoy eternally. One can be happy eternally. So this is Krishna's program. Now for that, so we see in the program of the, you know, materially speaking, chewing the chew, trying to enjoy one body after another, There's a lot of difficulty there. But what Krishna is saying is, for my program, you think of me. So when, one time Prabhupada was in 1976, he was in France in the farm there. So he was speaking to some of his disciples. So he asked the question, so what is the difficulty? I said, we're all thinking of something. You know, we all have our minds. We're all thinking of something. We can think of anything. We can think of our material desires. And, you know, if we go to work, we never stop thinking about our family. We're working for their happiness. Even when they're never satisfied. But we're always thinking, why not think of Krishna? There was a difference. So, he explains also that to think of Krishna, one must actually become Krishna's devotee. One must love Krishna. So, the very basic principle of happiness in this world, as Srila Prabhupada explains, is love. That in every form of life, actually, the living entities are attaching themselves to each other. I remember one time I was in New Zealand, at Pariyatra, South Island, I think it was, with my spiritual master. And we were going from one town to another, and my spiritual master had a habit that, you know, if there was a zoo, he'd take us, we'd all go and say, you know, if there was some hot pools, we'd go into the hot pools, and mud pools, you know, we'd go into there. If there was a glacier, we'd go walk on the glacier like that. So, you know, he always, and then as we were walking around, you know, he would, we would see the Bhagavatam coming to life, you know, and he would explain what the materialists are doing, the animals are doing, sort of thing. So one time, I was standing by him, we were looking at these two beautiful large parrots in a cage. And, you know, very, very beautiful, very large, you know, big, big, big cage. And sort of a very open air, small, what do they call that?
Aviary.
And they were snuggled up to each other. You know, they were like, you know, neck and neck. Of course, you know, teenagers say that. What have you been doing? Necking. and they were sort of just really cuddling up to each other and cooing and what have you. You know, you could just see they actually loved each other. You know, and he turned to me, he quoted that verse from the fifth canto. He said, Gangeshwar, just see every species of life, same thing. Okay. So, you know, it's there. But, you know, and you'll see, and I see this when I'm driving, many, many birds, even the crows, if one of them gets hit by a car, the other one will come, risking its life, trying to get them, get up, in danger, trying to drag them off the road. That attachment, you know, they're risking their own life to, you know, get the other bird off the road. You hear the birds, they like that story. So, you know, it's actually love. And, of course, in the human form of life, all our sentiments and our emotions are developed to the highest degree. But still, really, we cannot actually find the perfect person to love, and we cannot materially, you know, that reciprocation of love in the material world is always imperfect. And even if we find something, as Prabhupada says, you know, the closest thing you'll find to love in this material world is, you know, the love of a mother for its child. Of course, even that's disappearing, because many mothers, you know, want to kill their child, you know, if they don't want it, let's get rid of it. So, but normally mothers, they'll do anything, and there are many mothers. There's some, and you know, there are many stories. There's mothers who have forcefully, you know, had a child by someone they didn't even know, and you know, they want to protect that child. what they want to, you know, it doesn't matter the tragic circumstances, that is a living being and they'll protect that child, you know. Like that. That's natural, very selfless. But basically, in this world, we're always left dissatisfied. And even if we say, well, this is close enough, you know, because that's really the motto, you know. It's, if you ask people, you know, I've heard this a lot. You know, you see people have been married for 70, 80 years or something, and they ask, what's the secret to your, you know, loving marriage? And the man will say, whatever she says, you just say yes, dear. You're expecting some, you know, little something about that love, but you don't quite get it, you know. But that's as close, you know, as you'll get. But with Krishna, that love is actually there. So and for us, actually, Prabhupada is saying, if you want to love Krishna, then you just think of him. What's the difficulty? Now compare that to trying to enjoy the material world. There's no obstacles in between. You want to love Krishna, go back to the spiritual world, and Krishna said, just think of him. What's the difficulty? And then Prabhupada was saying that, and some of the disciples were saying that, so, but Prabhupada, sometimes there's material desires, and you know, that creates a difficulty. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, pointed out that yes, if you want to if you have a desire to be happy in the material world, then you create a difficulty. If you want to love Krishna, as much as you love Krishna, all your material desires will disappear. So if you have 100, if you just always think of Krishna, despite whatever's going on in your heart, you just think of Krishna anyway, because I want to love him, nothing else. He says, all your material desires disappear. He says, but if you keep, you know, to the degree, so if you have 10, 20, 30, 40, 50% material desires, then your love decreases by that much. And if you increase your love, that yes, I'm just going to think of Krishna, and you just think of Krishna, 100%, it leaves no room. Whatever room you leave where you're not thinking of Krishna, the balance will be filled up with material desires. And that's the nature of mind. And so then Prabhupada himself, you know, he often raises questions we should raise. So then he would say, so then, if we're always thinking of Krishna, how will things go on? Who will maintain the family? You know, how will the work get done? How will I maintain myself in this world? So Krishna explains that in that same chapter, 922, that, you know, for those who are always thinking of me in love, I personally bring to them what they need. I personally bring them. And there's that that nice story. I won't go into that story. Let me just tell it quickly. The story of one Brahmana. What was his name? Arjuna. Arjuna Chari, yeah. Is that your name? What's that?
They did a skit.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you know the story? Okay, tell the story. Alright, here we go. Here. Tell everyone the story. Come in, into the mic. Huh? Okay.
Do the skit.
Oh, no, well, no, just the story's enough.
One time there was a Brahmana.
Yeah.
And he was very dedicated to the study of the Bhagavad Gita. So one day when he was reading the Bhagavad Gita, he couldn't understand something in the translation. It was written that the Lord carries what they lack and preserves what they have. So then he told his wife that I'm going out to get some madhu curry. Then in that time, what happened is there came two boys on the door, and then when they were calling out Lord to the wife, please come out. And then when the wife came out, they gave some groceries and foodstuffs. And
they were really loaded. That Prabhupada mentions that, like, they have the bamboo stick and they were loaded right up, both of them, you know, carrying a lot. So it was, right? It was a lot, yeah.
So when they were giving the groceries, they bent down to give, the wife saw all the marks on their backs. Then she asked, what happened to you? And then the boys told that your father, that your husband disagreed on something, and he beat us. So then the wife told, come inside and you can take some prasadam. Then the two boys came inside and then had prasadam. And then when they were full, they said that now we will leave. And then when the brahmana came home, the wife told that
the wife was already eating.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So then the brahmana said that why are you eating? You always eat after I eat. So then the wife said that there were two boys. How could you beat them so badly? Then he said that I didn't beat any two boys. There were no one. Then he was lost in deep thoughts. And then after some time, he went to his Bhagavad Gita, and then he opened the chapter what he was reading, and then he found that the strike he had made on the translation was rubbed out.
Yeah. He'd crossed out where Krishna says that I personally look after my devotees, come and bring what they need. He thought God doesn't personally come, and he crossed that out in the Gita. Yeah.
Then the absolute truth flashed upon him. Then he understood that the Lord himself came and then ate prasadam and then cleared his doubt for him.
Jai, very nice, yeah. Yeah, so the point is that Krishna showed that he personally comes. So that's Krishna's program, that if we think of him, so Prabhupada explains, just, you know, somehow or another, no one has to leave their usual position of, you know, their usual work. They don't have to leave their family. Just wherever they are, you just think of Krishna while you're doing that. As he says, people go to work and they think of their family all day long. So there's no impediment. If you want to think of something, you will. So you can do anything and think of Krishna and be successful, go back to Godhead. That program, that is this Krishna consciousness movement, because people tend to follow blindly, but, you know, we want them to follow us. So Prabhupada gives this example, that the monkey, sometimes, you know, the people, lumberjacks, they split the log and they sort of cut them in half and what have you, and you know, one time they were cutting the logs and it comes to about lunchtime, they'd halfway or somewhat cut nearly all the way through this log, and they thought, let's go and have a meal. And so they put a wooden chop in it so it doesn't close up. And then the monkey comes along thinking, you know, just imitating, you know, just, but no knowledge, you know, but just following, you know, oh yes, they put the log here, they put the chop here, I'll do this as well, have a little fun. Pulls the chop out, cuts its tail off. So people have a tendency to follow even at their, you know, so the world is like that, you know, rascals, monkeys, you know, dogs, hogs, dogs, camels and asses, as we say. But that tendency, Prabhupada gave another example which he used in that way, but also he gave the same example one time that let them follow us. He said, you know, people will sometimes see us as, you know, crazy fellas. You know, what are these crazy fellas doing? But then when they see, well, they're really happy. They're always happy. You know, bright face. You know, then they'll take some interest. And he gives this example. You saw this Charlie Chaplin movie once. And he was saying, he was laughing as he was remembering this Charlie Chaplin movie. That at one time, Charlie Chaplin sat down on a park bench. And, you know, he was going to a ball. And he had, in those days, they had the jacket, which is coat and tail, so they have tails which comes down to the back of the leg sort of thing. And so these naughty little boys came and stapled one side to the you know, the bench. So when he got up, it ripped right up the back, and he was angry, and he thought, I'm going to the ball anyway. Did you ever see that show? Yeah. So he went to the ball anyway, and he was sitting there, he was really embarrassed, and then he thought, I'm just going to get up and dance, you know. Cast everything to the wind like that. And so he got up and he danced. And because in the sense that, you know, I don't care whatever. Usually when people are dancing, they're thinking, I wonder, you know, who's looking at me and if I'm doing the right thing. They're really embarrassed. But when you've got your coattails ripped up, you think, oh, who cares what they think? I'm just going to dance with the band. And so he's like that, dancing. And then, you know, others were looking at him. He's really having fun. And so another person rips their coattails up the back and they get on the dance floor and dancing. And I don't care what you all think. I don't like that. And then everywhere, all the men, you know, started. So the whole lot of them just rip their coattails and they all dance like that. So he said, you know, you just dance and chant and feast. People in the beginning think you're crazy. When they see you happy, they'll follow because that is their nature. So this is, so we want them to follow Krishna's program, and really all they have to do is somehow or another think of Krishna and that'll take them back to Godhead and they'll get the eternal happiness that they're after. So I'll just leave it there. If anyone has any questions or comments, just quickly.
Couples in the spiritual world, so what's the
difference of mentality of the couples in spiritual world and couples in the spiritual world?
Couples in the spiritual world?
Yes, we have gopas and gopis and
their
children, gopas.
Yeah. That's explained here. Anandamaya Obhisa, they're all full of enjoyment.
You know, like husband and wife, it's obviously different. There is condition and there is transcendental.
The only difference is that when we become attracted to, you know, that relationship with another person, you know, husband, wife, etc., in this world, it brings fear because either death will come, or if people have a little bit more knowledge, they feel that they'll be implicated in the cycle of birth and death. But the only difference between the relationships is that here it brings fear, but in the spiritual world there's no birth and death, and so there's no fear, there's only bliss. That's the only difference.
Yes, that's external, but...
No, that's actually internal. Well, Prabhupada explains this. He says that Prabhupada explains it like this. He says in the spiritual world, he says they're thinking that how is it people think that the sex life is even happiness in the material world? That's what he says, that's what they're thinking. Right? So if they, you know, somehow or another, you know, get a glimpse of what we're doing from Vaikuntha or what have you, They're wondering, how do they even think that happens? That's how they're thinking. So, therefore, Prabhupada says, so you can only imagine their happiness if they're thinking like that. That's what we have to understand. Yeah. And under my obvious self. Yeah. Okay? Any other questions, comments? Jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.